Hello, everybody. Today is July 15th, and we're doing business and robot today. 2020 continues to spiral on.
Spiral is such a good verb to describe 2020.
Yeah, it's just spiraling downward, not upward.
I prefer trundle. It's trundling on.
Limping.
Trundling kind of like has the connotation of like it's kind of slow and clumsy and like it doesn't really know what it's doing. I feel like 2020 is malicious.
Well, I think spiral is so good because it's accelerating
Yeah.
the speed of descent. Like one
Trundling
of those
downhill.
penny things they had at McDonald's where you could like make it go around.
Well, let's start out with some. If it's not about ISPs, I was going to say ISP, but in most cases, these are also your ISPs, and they bundle these things together and they trick you. And there's darkness, and it's about TV. Oh, I wish broadcast TV would go away, and I'm going to get my wish because of stuff like this.
Charter's hidden broadcast TV fee now adds $197 a year to cable bills. Technically, this should be illegal because this is not included in the advertised rate, but we see how effective that is.
So you're wondering, what is the broadcast TV fee? Well, as things go along, they have to pay more and more to get the media companies to give them their feed. For example, Disney. Disney doesn't care about broadcast TV getting Disney content because Disney has their own thing now. So they raise the prices. Sports, they raise the prices. Interestingly, remember a year or so ago when we talked about how they were raising all these prices because of, like the Yankees, for example. The Yankees don't just give you their games, you have to pay a lot of money. Because guess what? They've got their own network. And the cable companies were like, listen, we're paying a ton for these live sports. We have to raise your bill. Guess what hasn't happened in 2020? So the bill went down, right?
No.
No. That's weird. Wonder what we're paying for. When it comes to laptops, I don't do this. And every time I realize I'm not doing it, I'm like, what's wrong with me? I should do that. And then I just ignore it more. But if you're smart, you cover up that camera. And in fact, they make these cool little like stick-on slidey things to make that super convenient. But the modern MacBook has some pretty insane tolerances and weird things happen.
Apple advises against MacBook camera covers due to display cracking. Yeah, so when you close the MacBook, that little thing sticks up, and if you squeeze the lid, it's putting pressure on the glass and it will break or cause lines
Wow.
in the display.
That, what do you think? That's an eighth of an inch? Quarter?
No, I think it's less than 2 millimeters.
Can't handle it.
No.
Built to last.
What if you just get something like a piece of paper floats in there or something? Yeah.
I think like a sticker would be okay, but these are convenient because it's like a little slider thing.
Yeah, that's really cool.
My mom, so this was several years ago, she heard about, people getting into your webcams and stuff. So like I came over once and she had like an envelope taped up to her laptop. And I was like, what is this for? And she was like, oh, I read this article about how, they can get into your webcam and stuff. And I was like, Mom, this is your work laptop. Do you even have a webcam? And I peel back the envelope and no. My mom just taped an envelope to her laptop out of fear.
How did she choose where to put it?
I don't know. She just put it on there. She was like, I just thought there was a webcam. I was afraid.
Least she's interested in security, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. Now, they do claim that the green light that comes on when the camera is on is in the hardware. So it shouldn't be possible to turn it on surreptitiously.
It was possible that one time to turn it on surreptitiously in 2012.
Well, these are the new MacBooks.
It couldn't possibly ever happen again.
Never
I
again.
don't think I would trust it. But according to Apple, you don't need that because it's super
Actually,
safe.
in fairness to Apple, one of the things in the T2 chip is the audio stuff is routed through the T2. So when the laptop is closed, it is not supposed to be able to activate the microphone. It's like some,
Supposed to.
supposedly it's a hardware disengage
Supposedly.
through the T2.
Yeah. But that's nice, but then in, 5 years we found out that
Oh, the
somebody
NSA backdoored that. It's like,
yeah.
oh man.
The other big news about Apple, of course, are the ARM chips that are coming, and everybody's super excited about it. Everybody that is, except for Intel.
And anybody that had just bought a Macintosh computer in the last 6 months.
Intel definitely not excited about that. But Intel has this ace up their sleeve. They're like, hey, we've got Thunderbolt. But the thing is, Thunderbolt was designed with Apple. So Apple has some, you know, rights to go ahead and use it. And it seems like they will.
Apple promises to support Thunderbolt on its new ARM Macs. But I have my doubts on this. I'm probably going to do a separate video on this because I got Thunderbolt working on Threadripper. And that was a huge pain in the butt. And I really, really have my doubts about this. The developer Macs that Apple is shipping do not have Thunderbolt. The iPad Pro, which has a USB-C connection, which would have been the logical candidate to support a Thunderbolt connection because they want the iPad. And it's like, oh, you can dock it and you can do all this stuff. No, it's USB-C. It's not Thunderbolt. If Apple really wanted to have their crap together and not be just like an awful first version of this product, the iPad Pro should have had the Thunderbolt port, and they should have used that to work out the bugs with Thunderbolt because there are going to be bugs.
Well, technically, according to the spec for the new Thunderbolt, which has just been released, all of these companies should be allowed to use it. As long as they have certain security in place, which they all claim to do, they should be allowed to implement Thunderbolt. But will they is another question.
Intel unveils the Thunderbolt 4 spec, which AMD believes that it can use. So this is a really interesting situation. There are motherboards, AMD motherboards, that include Thunderbolt compatibility, but they go out of their way not to call it Thunderbolt because calling it Thunderbolt means that Intel has to certify it, and surprise, surprise, Intel hasn't really certified it. Thunderbolt 4 is really not a lot different than Thunderbolt 3. There's a few minor changes, but it's still the same PCIe speed. It's supposed to explicitly support two 4K monitors. It's supposed to be DisplayPort 1.4, which this particular article doesn't say anything about, which has enough bandwidth to carry two 4K displays at 60 Hz. But, you know, the DisplayPort 1.2 implementation in Thunderbolt is sketchy at best across a whole bunch of laptops. Not to mention Thunderbolt controllers have had a lot of errata. There's like A1 and B1 and C1 versions of the same chipset, and if you get the wrong chipset, things like power management and crap like that doesn't work. They're trying to lock it down with Thunderbolt 4 to say, okay, you've got to support this, and it's got to do this, and it's got to, the machine has to behave this way when it, you plug in a dock, and it's got to do this when it goes to sleep and power management, and also DMA protection for security, which you get out of the box with AMD anyway.
They asked AMD about this, one of their representatives, and they were like, yeah, we probably could, but you know what? Our customers don't want that.
Some of them do.
No. I guarantee that that's, AMD customers are better than that. So you wonder, amongst all of this lockdown and unrest and, you know, the horror that has been 2020, are people buying computers? And the answer seems to be yes, but.
Worldwide PC shipments grew due to work-from-home arrangements. PC shipshipments grew year over year for Q2 2020, but IDC and Gartner believe that the victory will be short-lived. Can confirm, level 1 KVM sales off the charts.
Definitely people, they mentioned that laptops were the big winner because a lot of people working from home get the laptop.
Just going to get the work laptop and close the work laptop when I don't want to think about work anymore.
And so they worry that not only will that be saturated because if everybody just bought a new computer, they won't be doing it next year, but also the economy may have crumbled into depression.
I don't know. I'm kind of loving working from home. I didn't like it at first, but I've settled into it now.
Yeah, the adaptation period was weird, but now I'm sort of in a rhythm, and you know it's working again. Although, is the work going to dry up? That's the fear.
Yeah.
So far, knock on wood, it's been okay. Not great, but okay.
Yeah. So that's not really related to like the work from home part, really. It's just like, will the work dry up because of the horrible economic devastation that is to come?
Well, that's the thing that's keeping us at home, though. So yeah. Now, last week we talked about the Ryzen 3000 XT processors, and people have had time to look at them. And
we reviewed them.
It seems to be the consensus that, yeah, these are good, but they're kind of like the other one.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Hot Hardware says that the AMD Ryzen 3000 XT processors have been reviewed as Zen 2 turbocharged. So for me, I thought the star of the show was the 3600 XT because you could overclock it so high. So for things like software development, it makes a pretty big difference. For high frame rate gaming, talking like 120Hz, 144Hz, 1080p, it makes a big difference there. But otherwise, the deal is still the 3600. Same deal with the 3900X versus the 3900 XT. Yeah, you get the single core boosts, but it's $100 more if the street price of the 3900X is $419, $100 more for the 3900 XT. Personally, I'd probably pick the 3900 XT because things like compiling Node.js applications is really fast with that high core boost, but anything that depends on a lot of cores is not really a lot of difference.
Interesting that they're going to keep selling both.
Yeah. Well, it's supposedly a different process. They come from different wafers in TSMC. I think that part of the reason for doing this with the XT is not just to have an XT process, but to also iron out any of the kinks with that improved 7-nanometer process. I don't think it's 7-nanometer plus. It's something else. So that we may see that in the 4000 series CPUs that are going to come later this year. Zen 3, which they say is still on track for 2020.
So Team Red might be feeling pretty good. They got their new processor out. People seem to like it, even if it is iterative at best. But Team Green.
They're killing it.
Really
Player
killing
3
it.
Player 3 entered the game.
Reuters says that NVIDIA has eclipsed Intel as the most valuable U.S. chip maker. Holy crap. I can think of some Intel like board members that are probably just furious about this. They've probably like lost their minds and probably had to kill some prostitutes. I don't know.
$248 billion market cap. Krista, what would you do with $248
billion? I'd buy land in the promised land of McKee.
I think that's what they're going to do with it.
I don't think so.
No, they're opening another, you know, another facility somewhere. Something.
Not in McKee.
Not McKee.
No, definitely not in McKee.
So, yeah, they. It's kind of like Tesla, though. They're a bit of a stock darling right now. They mentioned that you know, all the major funds have them versus a tiny, tiny percentage who have Intel right now. People not betting on the future of Intel.
Well, I mean, 2018 Computex, Intel was not about processors. It was about everything but computer processors. And it was basically, without saying it, they were like, oh, we've hit a wall with processors. Let's talk about 5G and AI and blah, blah, blah. And
let's talk about these things that everybody else is doing better already.
Yeah, that's exactly how it was.
Now, last week we did this exact same article, just switch out the brand name. It seems like a lot of people or a lot of companies are going to get on this bandwagon.
Your next Samsung phone may not come with a charger in the box. Whether or not it's going to have a charger in the box depends on if Apple's phone comes with a charger in the box.
Who blinks first?
Why?
I will admit, I have a lot of these.
Yeah.
And they are just, you know, it's just DC to USB at this point.
If they if it's still the same wireless charging standard, I have one of those Qi chargers on my nightstand, and hopefully that's not giving me brain cancer. And it's nice. Like, I love just setting the phone down and not having to plug anything in, and it just charges. Even though it charges a little slower.
All it's doing is just beaming Samsung ads into your dreams.
See, we have those too, but I kind of can't stand it because you have to place your phone directly on it in just the right position to get the little doo-doo to indicate that it's charging.
Do you have the flat one or the stand-up one?
It's a flat one. It's just like a little disc.
The stand-up one has stronger magnets in it, and it will help the phone snap to where it's supposed to go.
Oh, that would probably be better, because sometimes I'll just sit there and place my phone on it like 3 or 4 times before it finally connects.
Well, here I am in the Stone Age, still plugging it in. It's such a burden.
What a pleb.
How do I get through the days? Zoom, as we've talked about over and over, week after week, are, you know, the big winner of the pandemic, because people need these services and Zoom gives it to them in a very digestible way. You really don't have to figure anything out or work that hard. It just works, as the old Apple moniker says. But what if you're a company that is needing these services, but with the pandemic, your IT people are refusing to come to the building and you are far too stupid to set up a Zoom room on your own? What can you do?
Zoom Rooms Go as a service with hardware partners D10, Neat, Poly, and Link. So Zoom's hardware as a service includes a range of devices. Basically, it's like $5 a month if you want to get a Polycom phone that's hooked up to Zoom. They've also got some video conferencing gear that's kind of expensive for what it is, in my opinion.
You mean the subscription is expensive?
Yeah.
Like yeah, that. Of course, because they're banking on people not knowing what the hell they're buying.
That's horrifying.
I mean, to amortize the cost of this, I guess the thought here is vaccine hits and everything goes back to normal. And it's like, okay, come and get your stupid box. We're going back to the, you know,
Meeting in the conference room is sort of an obsolete thing. We've got the meeting owls, and the meeting owls are awesome, except the quality is not very good. Like, when they first launched, it was like, this is amazing quality. And now it's like, we really need, like, a 20-megapixel meeting owl.
Come and pick up these boxes of masks and all this Zoom equipment. We're going back to spitting in our hands and shaking. This is my
sneezing in each other's faces.
This is my favorite story of the week.
I did not see this until we talked about it prior to starting.
This is the epitome of cancel culture and eating their own.
Is it cancel culture or totalitarianism?
There is no it's the same thing. Yeah, you just said two words that are the same thing. So we've talked about this guy in the past. There is this guy, Rich Rebuilds. He's got a YouTube channel, and he is a mechanic, and he didn't start out working on Teslas, but he got a hold of some Teslas, and he was like, oh, man, this is fun to wrench on these Teslas and try to get around all their draconian controls. Look, I can rebuild Teslas. And at first, Tesla didn't like that. But eventually, they kind of warmed up to him, and they even had him come to, like, press events and stuff like that. They gave him an affiliate link, so that if you bought a Tesla through his link, he would get some payment for that. He became kind of, you know, like this darling of the EV community. And then he thought outside the box a little bit, and he was destroyed for it.
Popular EV YouTuber says Tesla fanboys ganged up on him to get a video taken down. Days later, Rich's Rebuilds Tesla referral code was also terminated. So I haven't seen the video because it's still
down. Yeah,
you're
not going to either.
But it didn't seem like from the description that it seemed like the video was mostly, hey, I rebuilt this Model Y, it's an older Model Y, I'm going to sell it and get a gasoline vehicle. And he wasn't like super abrasive or like, you know, with vitriol or anything like that. It's just like, I want to do this. This is my opinion. And so I guess a lot of people flagged the video and got it taken down, and, you know, because YouTube doesn't care or check any of those things. So it was taken down. And then they got it reinstated because it was like, oops, yep, that was just your fans being terrible. And then it was taken down again.
But it's not just that he was going to sell that car. It was that the videos on his channel going forward were going to focus on the gas car for a while.
Mm.
So he was kind of, this was a bad breakup. A little bit of, like obsessive.
That didn't sound like a bad breakup. It just sounds like, you know, listen, we're different people now. I want to other things, like other cars.
On his part, it wasn't a bad breakup. It was the other side of it where the EV crowd killed his cat and set fire to his house after the breakup. And he made a statement. He was like, listen, I have like 5 Teslas. I still like these cars. My family drives them. I drive them. It's just, I want to just take the channel in a little bit different direction. And it was just, you know, screaming and clawing. Screeching.
You know, this is terrible for him, but like, it does kind of make you feel a little bit better because it's like, this is just the universal YouTube creator experience. Yes. Like, it's not anything specific.
You know, our viewership versus his viewership, you know, the percentages, I'm sure he gets it much worse, but we do get a little taste of those people. And oh my God. I love them though. I find them just highly entertaining. The screeching, I can read it all day long.
I wish I could care about something that much. 2020 has just removed my care level entirely, but good on them, I guess, in a weird way.
You know, I care deeply about, like, you know, the control that the government is inflicting on our lives and the destruction of the economy and the warmongering and stuff like that, but I just can't. I can't get that amount of rage built up in me, even though those things are so much more important than a stupid electric car.
You will stop recommending BTRFS as a file system. It's a shit file system.
I'm going to call your employer and write letters until you do. How hilarious. You know, we should do that. We should randomly just target some, like, a Mac user, start writing to their employer. Oh, remember Dragonfly, the evil Google Chinese search engine? And people found out about it, they were like, oh my God, you're doing business with China. Revolt, revolt, and Google backed away. But it turns out that wasn't the only thing that Google had going on, not just in China, but kind of everywhere where it might be a little bit weird to work in the cloud.
Google scrapped a cloud initiative in China and other markets. This is because, they were building cloud infrastructure behind the Great Firewall in order to serve customers behind the Great Firewall really well. And in so doing, they were being pretty open and transparent about it with the Chinese government and saying, hey, what are your rules for compliance? Do you need us to not use encryption? Do you need this? Do you need that? Whatever, we don't care. We're going to build our data center to your specifications in order to be able to do business in your market. Also, the EU, because the EU is like, no, you got to store stuff in the European Union for our customers. But with the current climate, I guess, some of these projects were canceled. Though, as far as I know, the EU project is still going ahead.
Well, I call it isolated something. I don't remember, and I need a paywall here, but it's literally a system of like, okay, you've got special rules in your little kingdom. We have a system where we just spin up a cloud service wherever you tell us to put it, and it's got whatever rules that you want on it. So you get all the benefits of our cloud service, but you get your own little fiefdom that you build. And I guess they recognized, especially with the Hong Kong stuff going on, it's like, oh, this isn't going to look good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's bad. We're kind of catering to the bad guys here.
Are we the baddies?
Well, that's why the project was scrapped, or so they will have you believe.
And Google also getting some bad press because, again, the cancel culture people are always digging. And with the big tech companies, sometimes they hit pay dirt, gotta admit.
The naivety here is off the scale.
Sometimes they do things that they shouldn't.
The headline is, Google Campus Security singled out Black and Latinx.
Latinx?
I think
it's because you have to say Latina or Latino.
Right, yeah, it's gender.
It's supposed to be the gender neutral version. But
how do you pronounce it?
This is one knows. Bloomberg.
There's a lot about how to pronounce it. I understand it. I kind of like that they're trying to do something so that way it's not like Latino or Latina, but it's confusing to read.
So the headline, though, on Bloomberg, it's slightly misleading. Yes, absolutely. The result was Black and Latinx employees were singled out. But what they tried to do, perhaps naively, was to create a security program because they said, look, we can't hire a security force large enough to really police things. So instead, why don't we train our employees to look for anything unusual? And what actually happened was the employees singled out Black and Latinx employees as being unusual on the Google campus, which resulted in those people having to endure constant badge checks and crap like that.
It sounded to me like anybody could initiate a check.
Yes.
And so some people, you know, just flush with power. They're like, show me your badge. And sometimes even to the point where right after they had badged in, they would be challenged for their badge.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, man. Oops. It turns out that all of the people are horribly racist. Or not all of the people, but a lot of them. Or a lot of people may not even realize how racist they are. Just perhaps the darkest of timelines.
I don't know. I mean, but, okay, maybe you look at those people and you think to yourself, they don't belong here. They're not Google employees. But what would they be doing there?
Yeah. So how do they?
Why are you threatened by that?
I've watched enough Karen videos on YouTube to know that thought never enters their head.
Like you look over and it's like, oh, he's just here for the free cafeteria. I'll challenge him. It's playing through their head. They think it's like, you know, people are going to be like, oh, thank you for saving us. We would have lost.
I challenge them. Like that's like you're going to have a duel in the middle of the hallway at Google.
Walk up with your glove and slap them.
I challenge you. Show me your
satisfaction,
bad.
Sir.
A Nerf duel at 30 paces.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that we had all these Bloomberg stories all in a row.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really annoying because really you can't read them easily.
Yeah. But this one is, did we do the thing about Musk and his, he's still tweeting at the SEC?
Yeah, well, we didn't mention it, though.
He said that SEC was an acronym,
yeah,
and the middle word was Elon's. And if you don't understand that, it has to do with fellatio.
There goes the monetization.
I didn't say it. And he's not supposed to tweet things like that. He's not supposed to make these insane claims. I don't think he made this one on Twitter, but he really is pushing the line there.
Again.
And then he did something about the shorts, like they're selling shorts now. Yeah.
Physical shorts, yeah. Not the stock
sexy
shorts. But that's the joke.
So, again, he loves to make bold claims. Now, if he pulls this, he has made some bold claims and pulled them off.
Yeah.
Which, also, did you see? This is hilarious. So, the SEC, to get around the last time he did something like this, he bought Tesla shares with his own money. And I was like, okay, listen, I'm gonna buy this amount of shares, and that'll make up for whatever you're accusing me of, because I'm going to risk my own money. He made like $40 million. Because the stock price went up so much after he bought it. So you got to give it up. Sometimes he wins. But will he hit this one? I really doubt this one.
Elon Musk says Tesla is, quote unquote, very close to fully autonomous cars. Yes, this is definitely the kind of claim that would get the attention of the SEC, because he's made this claim before, kind of a lot.
The boy who cried autonomous vehicles.
And you might be saying, well, very close. What does that mean? You know, you can interpret that a lot of ways. No, he's saying end of year.
Yeah, again.
He's saying 2020. The crazy year that is 2020, what if we got full self-driving?
And then the Carrington event.
Just shuts them all down. The road is just packed with Teslas. Just shuts them all down. Can't even salvage the batteries for the aftertime. Amazon, as we have discussed many times, has a little bit of a counterfeit problem, or just, you know, selling you garbage because it's the third-party sellers. And the recourse when that happens to you is sometimes pretty limited.
Yeah.
So what can they do to fix that? Well, they're going to try a couple of things.
Amazon will require third-party sellers to disclose names and addresses so they'll know where you are. They can serve you with a lawsuit. They can just keep track of you and make sure that you're not doing anything evil.
What happens after the first person gets killed?
I think, I was thinking more about, like, the one thing this might prevent is a lot of the time the bad sellers just come back under another name. Like, it's not really, like, Amazon's like, okay, we're going to shut you down. That doesn't really result in anything bad for the seller.
We'll see, yeah. I could totally see, though, like, somebody getting a bum product. And it's like, oh, that's in my state. You know, pack me a lunch. And
this DisplayPort cable is so bad.
And they choke them to death with it. So the tensile strength is actually pretty good. Let me add a star to my review. And the other thing that Amazon, in every metric, has killed it in 2020. We've been driven into their arms as if we weren't there already. We're just, you know, further desperate to order things from them. And they paid their employees more for a little while, and they were like, okay, we're not going to do that anymore. So now they're just reaping maximum profit. But there is one area that they absolutely cannot get right.
Amazon delays at the next video game a half a year after the last one flops, according to Bloomberg. So we covered the last one flopping in last week's episode of the news.
Crucible.
The next one has been delayed because they don't know what they're doing.
I heard nothing about Crucible.
Yeah, the marketing was terrible for a company as big as Amazon, too. And they own Twitch. You would think that would have been like a really like just shoe-in, easy
just
type
run,
machine.
Run some ads. They could have. Yeah. What they could have done is gone to all of the Z-list channels like ours and say, hey, play our game, and we'll just give you some free Prime subs that you can hand out to your watchers.
I don't know. We'd be honest about it, though.
Any press is good press.
No, the reviewers really. I think the problem with Crucible is it wasn't terrible, but it wasn't good either. It was just boring. And that's the worst thing you can be.
That's how I felt about Battleborn. There were moments in Battleborn that I was like, this is almost fun, but most of it was just kind of like, meh.
Was that the one where it was like, he got the point, and it was the only voice line that character had, and so like every time you would do something, it would say that?
No, I don't remember. It was we played it before we played Overwatch. Came out like a month later.
It was the team battler, but they focused on melee more than
they had like the British robot though, and it just only
That's
had the
who
one.
You played.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It was like the one voice line. That was it.
Yeah, it wasn't great, but it wasn't terrible.
It could have been better, I think, if it hadn't released like right at the same time as Overwatch.
But Outer Worlds, I think, is the next Amazon game they mentioned. And that one's supposed to be really great, but it's an MMO. And they're just like, no, not yet. Although you think MMO, now's the time, right?
Multiplayer RimWorld.
I think that exists, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
No, but what you're thinking of is like everybody has their own.
Yeah.
And you can interact. Colony. Now that would be something, wouldn't it? Yeah, but the people would just... The problem with all multiplayer games, as you get older, is that you're never going to have the time or the motivation to keep up with the grind. And so you'll never be competitive. Which is why we need the Geriatric Gaming League. We need segregation when it comes to age and video games.
I think the oldest person in Overwatch League, I think he is like 31, maybe. And
his reflexes are probably like, he's probably on Adderall and, you know, like doing aim trainers 10 hours a day.
He plays Zenyatta, so he is like the glass cannon of the team. He does have to aim quite a bit, but.
Well, another problem Amazon might have, other than its video game revenue, which is probably like on the pie chart, it's like 2 pixels and they don't even care. That's like, Bezos, what are we going to do about the video games? He's like, what? How dare you speak to me? Another problem they might have is Walmart. Now, when you compare the market caps, Walmart's not a huge competitor, but Walmart used to be the big dog.
Yeah.
And they're desperately trying to get back to that point.
Walmart Plus will cost $98 a year and include same-day delivery of groceries, fuel discounts, and other perks. So that's going to launch in July, which is now. Do you think that... I mean, if you think about Walmart's empire and the way that they do procurement... And the aggression with which they pursue deals and prices and stuff. You think about is there a parallel Earth where Amazon never was because Walmart had people that knew what they were doing with technology in the company? Because, I mean, Walmart actually did some really amazing things with computers and software and that kind of thing. They just didn't embrace the internet. And can you imagine, I mean, how successful Walmart would have been if they had just let their computer people loose with the internet?
Maybe. I think it's a different world, though, because you're never going to get the breadth of products at Walmart. And maybe on the online you could. Maybe if they went that direction. And if you were able to pick those products up at the local Walmart, if you had Amazon's scope and you could just run to the Walmart and get it. And here's the important part. You don't have to experience like a child with nothing but a diaper on, just, you know, covered in syrup and dirt and, like, you know,
Cheerios.
Somebody who's 400 pounds
people
wearing
Walmart.com.
A halter top. If I don't have to deal with that, then it would... But how do you keep those people away?
You just go through the drive-thru to pick up your order. It's like you pull in and you hold up your phone and it's like order 138725. And
you require a mask.
You pop a trunk and then they just load it in your trunk and you don't even have to talk to anybody.
Yeah, well, they do that. I don't know. I don't like the idea of those things. I've never done that. I like going into the store, selecting my own items. Pandemic or no?
I don't think it would matter with the breadth of items that you're describing. For the groceries, yeah, absolutely, because with all of the grocery providers, it is a constant battle to get reasonable produce and Nestle brand water. Kroger. Come on.
Might as well drink piss. But yeah, like the stuff that I've ordered on Amazon lately, if I could get it just by going to the Walmart.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be a huge thing. And maybe they'll get there someday. I don't know. Also, it doesn't seem like shopping on Walmart.com is as good an experience as Amazon. Amazon's got the website locked down.
Yeah.
They have an excellent website. Well, if you're thinking about investing some of your money that you don't have because global depression, then, you know, the stock market, the stock market keeps going up, but it definitely feels like it's standing on a trap door. Like, what about all this joblessness?
It's just careening into like just a bridge that's out up ahead.
I'll share a stat with you. You probably already know it. 36% of U.S. homeowners missed their July house payment.
And I saw that.
It's way worse for rent in big cities. A lot of people haven't paid their rent since it started because they have the controls in, but that cancels out at some point. So what happens then? Are you afraid of that? Well, maybe you're going to look at some alternative investments.
TikTok traders are pumping joke cryptocurrency Dogecoin, and the price is up 95%. This is in Fortune. Fortune.com is covering this shenanigans. What?
Hey, man.
Like, that's the meta story here. That's not even the story. Like, Dogecoin, TikTok, that's... But Fortune, Fortune.com, have we really... Like, what timeline is this?
Dogecoin's Twitter has reminded people that, hey, basically, we're a joke. Probably shouldn't put your life savings into this. But... people are doing it, and the TikTok people, they showed, actually they had the transcripts somewhere, and I mean, who reads this and thinks to themselves, oh yeah, that's a good idea? I mean, clearly, this is someone, that, and they're just coming out writing, saying, hey, make me rich. But who knows? I mean,
somebody's going to get a house paid for with Dogecoin, and then truly, the darkest timeline.
I mean, people have that idea with Bitcoin. Everybody's like, ah, that's never going to go anywhere.
The $2 million pizzas.
This story is just like, oh, the dream.
It is the dream.
If only.
This is literally the thing that we always describe, and when I'm always bringing up the 96 Telecommunications Act, where you decouple infrastructure from services, that is exactly what Des Moines did.
Des Moines gets the weekly award for government actually doing something correctly.
City builds open access broadband network with Google Fiber as its first ISP. Technically, I think the headline is a little bit wrong. The city builds an open access fiber network with Google Fiber as its first ISP. It's not broadband. They're not selling broadband. So any ISP, not just Google, can say, hey, we want a fiber optic connection from your central point of presence, your, you know, city data center, to this list of addresses. And the city has used their money and their infrastructure to build out fiber to every business and residence in Des Moines. And so for Google to offer services there, they only need a point of presence in the central data center, and the city will manage the infrastructure. The city does not provide any internet access. They only provide network access. And any competing companies that want to deploy access there, they totally can. And you also solve the problem of redundant infrastructure. You don't have multiple providers running multiple sets of infrastructure to every house, which is not commercially viable.
The guy, the representative for the city who was doing all this, he made some comments about, it's like, yeah, this is great for the ISPs because there's no cost for them. They just come in here, they start providing service, and, you know, they can immediately start making money. Why would any of them not want this? And I sat there and I thought, here's a man who doesn't understand monopoly and how incredibly lucrative it is when you don't get to have competitors.
Yeah. It's like you can, all the money that you're, the money that the city is charging to keep up the infrastructure properly is much more than ISPs are paying, because ISPs are not properly maintaining their infrastructure. See also AT&T and their copper network. Their copper network was so badly mismanaged, and it was not replaced with a fiber network the way that it should have been. Should be the subject of a congressional investigation. And the amount of money that they spent proportionally on their networks and stuff, I guarantee you, is a tiny fraction of what that city spends on maintaining it. But overall, the cost that the end user pays for the city to maintain their network and the connection from the ISP, it's going to be about the same money, but the customer ends up with a way better product. Yet the profit margin for the ISP is not quite as good. That's why we're not reading about like Comcast and Charter duking it out or whatever, or we haven't in the past. But Google Fiber is interested in making money by, you know, selling you Google services and doing that kind of thing. So it's a little different.
Spying on you.
Yeah, spying on you. So it's a little different business model. They don't, you know, Google doesn't have to worry about taking care of the infrastructure. Great. They didn't want to anyway.
Here's my proposal. Right now, schools are not in session, and it doesn't look like we're going back anytime soon. There's all this big argument now about like the Department of Education and Trump, and they're arguing and stuff. And so let's defund all the schools, take all that delicious tax money that I hate paying, run fiber to everywhere. And then we have the online schools.
I don't think defunding
schools.
The schools is the way to do that.
That
though.
Is absolutely the way to do it. You can still have online school. We'll give them a little bit. But then you get rid of all that, you know, all the buildings and the nonsense and the upkeep and the buses, and just forget all that. Fiber. That's what we need. How much, here's the engagement challenge and question for you. How much cumulatively are all of the major ISPs putting into lobbying dollars to try and stop this?
It is a scary large number.
Well, it's probably slightly less than $2.65 billion. But who knows how much less? Maybe not much at all. But $2.65 billion is how much you pay for a food delivery company.
Uber agrees to buy food delivery service Postmates for $2.65 billion in stock. So this doesn't seem like this. How can this possibly, like, Uber is, nobody's doing rides. Rideshare, not a thing. So Uber drivers can do food delivery. And so, but Uber doesn't have the infrastructure to do that and can't get it quickly. So they're hoping that they can take Postmates software and infrastructure and roll it out into more areas than Postmates is currently in, which I think is mostly California, San Francisco, some other metropolitan areas. And maybe that'll keep Uber drivers in business. If this fails, it's going to ultimately devalue both companies. I can't see why Postmates would do this, why they would take all stock, because Uber is just as likely to fail spectacularly with this as they are to succeed.
Also, isn't the stock market like at all-time highs right now? This would be...
Well, not Uber's not.
Yeah, but...
They just laid off a bunch of people.
Everything's like super inflated, though.
But that's... If you're Uber, because, you know, it's the liquid... Like, the Fed is just pumping money into the system.
Yeah.
Like that great animation of the guy who's working the printer.
Money printer go brrrr.
So if you're Uber, then this is a great time to leverage that high value that may be unrealistic. They tried to get Grubhub. They couldn't, so they settled for Postmates. I guess I've never heard of Postmates.
Me either. Yeah.
I've heard of it, but I don't think it's an option around here.
Yeah, engagement challenge. Is it any good?
It's a terrible name.
Yeah.
What does that have to do with food? Bring me some stamps to eat. Moving into the robot section, we have talked about the Wingman program with the Air Force. It wasn't just the Air Force. It was all the military arms that have aircraft, which I think they all do. You're going to be able to fly your planes and have like a little AI buddy with you, just tagging along. It's like, oh, I see a missile is locked onto you. I'll just fly into it. You know, that kind of buddy. Totally loyal. And now we discovered that program is expanding beyond just the wingman.
The F-16's replacement is not going to have a pilot at all. And its name is the best name ever, Skyborg.
Oh.
That's much better than Skynet, right? Because, you know, Skynet was the evil AI. Skyborg is the one where it's like, you're not going to be allowed to die. You're going to be kept alive as some sort of weird machine, you know, human hybrid thing.
That's Warhammer. Describing Warhammer. So there he is. This is one aspect of it. Now, Skyborg is actually the overall program. Not just one aircraft. And it's going to include the wingman, but also these bigger autonomous, whole plane type of system. No pilot. They talk about, hey, the enemy's got some anti-aircraft? Well, that would be dangerous for a pilot to go after. Send in this guy.
Skyborg's just a little too on the nose for me. It's like, your culture will adapt to service us, we said, to the rest of the world.
Yeah, it's terrifying. So these guys are a little bit cheaper. A little bit smaller. They don't quite cost as much, so you
cheaper.
Can buy more of them and throw them away. So they pointed out a scenario where it's like, oh, the Skyborg goes in, he engages all his targets, he's got nothing left, and then a chemical weapon truck rolls out from behind the trees, and it's like, chemical weapons, and he just flies into it because he's expendable. You wouldn't expect a regular pilot to do that. And there's a video here. Also, this ad, a personal parachute, just in case you need to escape your building. Who's the target audience? Is it because this is a defense contractor?
Yeah, probably. It's like your building's been targeted. The fire escapes are not working. You've got another option.
There's put that in your bug out bag.
They have a video about the wingman, too. Interesting.
Can you imagine being in a Manhattan high rise and they're like, okay, here's apartment 3B. This is the closet where your emergency parachute is stored. It's like, wait, what?
I mean, that's kind of what happened when I moved here.
Oh,
with the emergency radio.
Yeah.
That went off yesterday, and or the sirens did, and we didn't get the storm.
There was a thunderstorm.
I didn't see it.
That was here.
There's nowhere to be found.
It blew my tomatoes over.
Oh, no. So the sirens weren't a waste after all.
I mean, The tomatoes are fine, but it blew the vine over.
One of my wicker chairs on my porch ended up in the yard somehow.
Chaos. One of the big hurdles for artificial intelligence is language. Got to be able to communicate with people and dissect what they're talking about. And AI is pretty good at it, but it suffers in a lot of ways. And we have an amazing new tool that points out all the ways that it's terrible.
AI researchers create a testing tool to find bugs in natural language processing from Amazon, Google, and Microsoft. So basically, one way to find bugs in conversational AI is to have tons of conversations with conversational AI. So researchers were like, hey, wait a minute, why don't we write a piece of software that will have a whole bunch of conversations with AI, and then we can look at the responses and very quickly find situations where the AI misunderstood what's happening.
You know what? Instead of using this, what they should do is kill two birds with one stone, and they should just use old, lonely people to test these things.
That would probably actually work really well. Can you imagine? Just make it into like a little robotic child, and then it'd be like, no, you can't take Timmy away. Timmy is just...
It's like, please, please stop pouring apple cider into the robot. It's not thirsty. Doesn't need your pudding. We have all new console generation supposedly coming out at some point this year.
Woo! And somehow this is going to be manufactured despite everybody being, you know, working from home.
Well, you want entertainment, right? But do you have the disposable income? These are probably going to be very expensive.
Are you not entertained? Was that where you were going with that? It's like the... Is that the Gladiator
Start
movie?
Start buying your Christmas presents now, chat.
No, I mean, like, you're stuck at home, yeah, and you need entertainment. Yeah. You know, I was reading about... Have you ever read about... This is a non-sequitur, but hey, we've only been going for 46 minutes. Dopamine saturation.
Oh, yeah, yeah, where your dopamine levels are so high all the time, it just doesn't do anything anymore.
Like, the lockdown has got me really reeling from dopamine saturation. To the point where video games no longer move me. And it's like, the cure is like, okay, you're going to need to spend 2 or 3 days not touching a computer or doing anything. Maybe reading a book, but probably not.
You can come here and help me clean.
I'm like calculating. It's like, could I do that?
Work on new level one sets.
No, you can't. That's can't too much anything. Technology.
Oh.
Yeah. You got to go out to the woods.
Yeah, I guess. Anyway,
could do some manual labor at the new house.
You know, all of your solutions seem to be involving getting free workout.
Yeah.
Krista, say it again.
No, I was going to say, Wendell, how's your kitchen going?
Everything is done. I've got to put in one more countertop outlet, but the drywall is up.
Oh, okay. So the picture you posted on Twitter earlier this week, it did not look done. You're like, it's coming along well. And I was like, I can't tell.
It, like with everything, like half of the work is just getting prepared for the last half of the work. And then the last half of the work goes really quickly. So like you have to get all of your ducks in a row. And then there's like making sure everything is the way that it's supposed to be so that people will sign off on it. And then like making sure that everything, and then once everything is set up and you got the materials and that kind of thing, it's basically just instantaneous.
Are you going to have a PlayStation in that kitchen?
No.
Well, when they do announce the cost of the new PlayStation, which will probably be like $700 or $800, keep in mind how little they are paying to put these bad boys together.
PlayStation's secret weapon, a nearly all automated factory. Robots carry on the legacy of craftsmanship at a little-known Kirisu plant. So, basically, the entire thing is completely automated. So, a very small crew that can socially distance is going to be putting your PlayStation 5s together in record numbers around the clock.
They point out that the human interaction is literally one person who stands in front of a giant vat of blank motherboards and feeds them into the machine. And that blank motherboard comes out the other end a PlayStation. And then there's another human on the other end who puts it in the foam and puts it in the box.
That's like Factorio. It's literally Factorio.
And they claim that they are able to keep costs down quite a bit. And then over the life of the console, it just gets cheaper and cheaper because they keep improving the line.
Yeah.
So, amazing. It could be, there could be a world where the you know, end game scenario hits and this factory keeps making PlayStations for maybe like a day.
There was no one there. That's like some Fallout stuff. Remember, it's like you get the AI factory, right, and it's like, oh, you're the first human that I've seen in hundreds of years.
And they're still doing whatever, you know, race. Like, oh, hey, there's all these PlayStations, but there's no power. And finally, this was, it's really, now if you're the kind of person who likes to, especially maybe you're locked down by yourself, you desperately need interaction, but, you know, you have a personality that other people can't tolerate. Man, we were playing PUBG. The voice was on. And so, like, the people in PUBG like to talk voice. And when Krista makes any kind of noise, they're like, a girl.
Yeah. And it's like, we're rabid. Like, it's weird.
These are real people. These people exist. This personality type, not only is it out there, but we encountered like three of them in a row for our randos on our teams. So if you're one of those people and you're like, you really shouldn't even communicate with other humans, this is for you.
An AI project captures Jane Austen's thoughts on social media. Not just Jane Austen, but also Richard Feynman and Einstein and some other people. This AI has been trained with the writing and the works of these famous people, and so it'll respond like it thinks they would respond on social media.
And I had some excerpts. This one was from Poe. I guess. Something about a cat. Why not? They ask Jane Austen about her character Emma, talking about social media and Facebook. And I mean, that's realistic, I guess. She could say that, maybe. So it's really interesting. Whenever you feed it a personality, it goes back and reads all of their, you know, correspondence and work and stuff like that, and then tries to shape their thoughts based on that.
I like that one of the things was they asked both the Newton AI and the Leibniz AI who invented calculus.
Krista, you should do this with Tolkien. And it'll give you back a 10,000 word answer with songs in it.
I made AI watch The Hobbit. You won't believe what happened. There's our video title.
A 2-page, like, just limerick. Included. A Hobbit walking song.
All right, well, we got it to 52 minutes.
Good Lord.
We're so good at this.
Krista, give me a Tolkien goodbye song.
There actually is one, but I can't remember the lyrics.
Oh, you call yourself a
Bilbo
fan.
Bilbo has one where it's like, farewell to the moon and the sun, and all journeys must end, blah, 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 blah.
No, blah, 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 blah.